morning. Thank you for coming this morning. I'm just going to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever had one of those nights where you get in bed on time, you go right to sleep, you don't wake up all night, and you wake up in the morning and you're just ready to go get them? Have you ever had one of those like that? Yep. Me either. All right. This week, we're going to continue on in the book of James. We just won't be in the series that we just finished, okay? And we'll continue starting at James chapter 3. This chapter that we're going to look at probably isn't what you call people's favorite portion of Scripture, because it's rather convicting and it calls for change in our lives. How many of you love it when the Bible calls for change? Okay. I just love to preach it too. Huh. But one thing is for sure, okay, when God convicts you to change, he also equips you to change. Amen? When he convicts you to change, he also equips you to change. Chapter 3 talks about the role that our mouth, say my mouth, plays in our life, and basically the lack of control that we exercise over it. You know, I just wonder, is there anybody here this morning that can honestly say that you have said some things to people that was probably better left unsaid? Yes. Amen. Exactly. Okay. So the practical teaching that James is known for just continues now in chapter 3. And I want to encourage you this morning to just listen to the message. I mean, you can talk to me. I love it when you talk to me. I preach better when you talk to me. Okay. But just listen to it with an open mind and not immediately say to yourself, well, that isn't me he's talking about. You know, this message, it's just got to be for somebody else. And just hear what James has to say, okay? What I want you to remember now is he's writing to a people who were horribly discouraged. You ever been that way? Just horribly discouraged. They were questioning God's character and even launching accusations against him as not being a good God, because of how badly their situation in life had become. In other words, okay, they were complaining, all right? They were complaining. How many of you know that as far as our mouth is concerned, it's easier to complain than it is to control? Come on. It's easier to complain than it is to control. Something I've noticed as I grow, I don't want to say older, is I yearly become more mature, okay? Is that when you complain about things, those things, if you will, have a way of getting worse instead of better. All right? The more you talk about them, the worse they get. The more you complain, the worse things get. That's just a fact of life. It might feel good to complain, but I want you to know it doesn't do any good to complain, and it really doesn't. You can tell everybody just how bad you feel, but you want to know something? There is people that care, but most people let it go in one ear and out the other. Hello. Oh, come on. Amen. And James is encouraging these people and us, okay, while correcting them and convincing them that God is good and that he is a God who only gives good and perfect gifts to his children. That's Bible, all right? That's Bible. And he does so repeatedly. And how often do we do the same thing as when our lives are just not going well, maybe not how we had planned, we don't have the job that we want, we're not, you know, having the days that we want. How often do we question God's goodness, you know? And I think we do it quite often. But I believe that James is continuing that correction in chapter 3 by instructing them about the effects that our words have. Now, I know that some people have taken this idea of speaking a certain thing way to the far end of the spectrum, and the truth of the matter becomes heresy, okay? But the truth is, you know, now hear me, the truth is our words have meaning. Come on. And our words affect our lives. Amen? You're not talking to me, amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me and we'll repeat our Bible declaration together. The name of the sermon this morning is Managing Your Mind, okay? Managing your mind. Mouth, okay. Whoops, excuse me. Managing your mouth. If you ever have one of those nights where you just go to bed, put your Bibles down for a second. Last night, we went to bed, and I laid down, and man, I zonked right out. I love it. Zonked right out. Then I zonked right up. And about every, we have these puppies, okay? And they're in a cage in our room at night, okay, so they don't bark all night in the basement. And all I could hear was about every 13 or 14 seconds was, okay, I'll give it to you better. Where is it? Here it is. You gotta love dogs, you know? My wife loves dogs. I love dogs. No, I really do. Anyway, so can you tell I didn't get much sleep last night? Anyway, take your Bible with me if you would, and you can pick it up. My gosh, help me, Lord. You can pick it up and hold it towards heaven, all right, and declare this declaration with me, all right? Are you ready?
Ready.
Are you going to prove to me that you're ready?
Yeah.
You know how you're going to do that? You're going to say it loud. Amen. Are you ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, amen. You may be seated. I guess I didn't need to tell you that, right? Why don't you turn in your Bibles, to Proverbs chapter 13. Yesterday, it was the 13th, so of course I was reading Proverbs 13. All right. Well, how do you like that? My Bible fell right open to it, okay? All right, it says this in verse 2. And I don't think it's really talking about us eating food like having lunch, okay? It says this, from the fruit of his mouth, a man eats what is good. But the desire of the treacherous is for violence. Now hear this one. See, these are scriptures that are for somebody else, right? Right? Come on. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. I like this. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Okay, now we'll move on, all right? That was just to kind of set the stage. Let me ask you a question this morning. How would you like to be able to control the words that come out of your mouth? Amen? In fact, how would you like to be able to control your whole entire body? Come on. According to James, the Lord's brother, this isn't just a dream. It can really become a reality in our lives. In fact, he said that the individual who can control their body or their mouth is a perfect man or a perfect woman, someone who is spiritually mature and can be trusted with mature adult things. That's what he says, and we'll go through that in just a minute. Interestingly enough, the connection between spiritual maturity, and I don't know about you, I want to be spiritually mature, amen? I really do. Above everything else, above being a great Jeep mechanic, above flying airplanes, above anything else, okay, I want to be spiritually mature. But there's a connection between being spiritually mature and the control over one's body, and it's directly linked to the mastery of one's mouth. Amen? The mastery of one's mouth. Proverbs 18:21 tells us this, and we've all heard this before, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So James is saying, okay, and he's telling us, and he's about to explain it to us, but he's saying, as we learn to harness the power of our words to produce life and not death, how would you like that to always happen in your life? Well, maybe I should stop right there. Wouldn't you like that to happen in your life, that you would speak the right things instead of speak the wrong things and see the wrong things come to be? Yes. Come on. And anyway, as we, you know, begin to harness the power of our mouths to produce life and not death, the greater God's presence and power will show up in and through your life. And this is what James is going to show us here today. Let me just say this. Controlling what you say is a sign of spiritual maturity, and it produces great power, giving you the ability to control your complete and entire body. They're linked. And I'm saying that twice because I want you to hear it. Like a small bit in a horse's mouth or a tiny rudder on any ship, the tongue gives direction to your life, all right? Say the tongue gives direction. Hey, very good. To my life. Amen. Turn with me to James chapter 3, and we will read verses 2 through 10. I'm going to read a lot here. Tell me when you're there. All right. For we all stumble in many things. That's true. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even though, and hear this, please. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But then it says this, but no man can tame the tongue. No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth, say, out of the same mouth, proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Amen. Amen. Serena, could you come up and pray for the message? Would you mind?
Father, as we gather in your presence, God, we thank you that you are here to direct and guide us and lead us. And we will follow your voice and another we won't follow. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, God, that will open our hearts and our minds to be receptive of this word. God, I thank you for the privilege and honor that we have to join together in one accord, in faith, believing that we will walk out of here different, that we will be changed because your word is under the anointing, is anointed, and it changes us if we allow it.
Thank you,
Help us to allow it by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Serena. You know, she prayed something that is so significant, and that is the word of God has a power to change you, okay? And the words that are written in the word of God, if you take them to heart, it'll change your whole life. Before I got saved, I wanted to change a lot of things in my life. I wanted to change the alcohol that I consumed. I wanted to change the smoking. I wanted to change everything, but I couldn't. I would have limited, I would have limited success. But when I got saved and I started to get into the word of God, it has this convicting power. Amen? And as I read the word and as I let the word affect my life, everything changed. Everything's not perfect yet, you know, but everything changed. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that if you think that you don't really need to read the Bible, or if you think the Bible is just something you should pick up once a week or maybe read it during church on Sunday, please think differently about that. Because the Bible has the power to change your life. And how many here that there's just maybe even at least a little area of your life that you would like to see different. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Well, you know, you can do that. And here I go. Help, I'm talking and I can't shut up. And going to church on Sunday is a wonderful thing. But that's not the only thing. That's not the only thing. It's that you seek God all week long and that you know, your whole heart goes after him and you allow that word to come inside of you and the washing of the water of the word changes who you are. Amen? Amen. That's all I'm going to preach today? No, it's not. Okay. You know, I wonder, is there anybody here this morning who's been affected negatively by someone whose tongue has been out of control? Yeah. And what I mean is a tongue that's in the mouth of someone who doesn't like you, those people are around, or doesn't like something about you or has some kind of a beef against you. And whatever it was or whatever it is that came out of that person's mouth hurt you and possibly even had the power to change the direction of your life. Exactly. And that can happen. Yeah. It can happen. The truth is, people say some of the most cruel things, whether they say them intentionally, unintentionally, whether they've been premeditated or just off the cuff, they say them, don't they? So let me ask you this next question. Is there anybody here this morning that hasn't controlled their own tongue and hurt somebody maybe who means a lot to you, but you just lost it and you said things that you wish you could take back? Yeah, I think we all have that regret. In James chapter 3, we've been given some insight into what happens when we allow our mouth to steer our life, when our mouth is controlled by our flesh. In verse 2, the Holy Spirit begins to just zero in on an area in all of our lives. Say, it's in my life too. Say, it's in my life too. Where growth and maturity are needed. And that area is the area of the mouth or the area of our tongue. James writes this. He says, "For we stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." So let's just see what James has to say here, what he's trying to teach us here. Because remember, he's just heard from a group of people that didn't have really good things to say about God because everything has been going so wrong in their life. The word stumble or offend, depending on what version you're reading, that's used in this verse here, could have come from a number of Greek words, but the Holy Spirit chose the word patio, is how it's spelled, okay, to be used, which simply means to stumble, to err, or to mess up. So what James is basically saying here to you and I is this: for in many things we all mess up and make mistakes. We do. How many of you know that to be true? You know, we do. Our life is made up of that. And then he continues with this: but if any man doesn't stumble or err in word, or in what they say, the same is a perfect man. So obviously, and we can conclude, that when a person doesn't make mistakes in what he or she says, then the Bible says they are a perfect man, or in application, a perfect person. The phrase "a perfect person" is a form of a Greek word which describes a full-grown adult. That's who you are. If you can not err in word, you know, you're a full-grown adult. So a full-grown adult is what we're talking about here. So we can say, but if any man doesn't stumble or err in word or in what they say, the same as a perfect man or a full-grown adult. All right? What it does is this. Is it pictures a person in the process of transitioning from someone who is youthful and immature to an individual who is full-grown and mature. In the New Testament, it denotes spiritually mature individuals who can be entrusted with adult responsibilities, all right? Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. I mean, wouldn't that be great? You know, wouldn't it be great if we could be that under control, that we would never let anything come out of our mouths that could compromise our Christ-likeness? And see, that's what happens to us as Christians, is we let things come out of our mouth that compromises who we are and really damages our witness. And that's because we don't take the time to take the control of our tongue. But what's really amazing in all this, and we've all lived life, some of us have lived longer than others. Yeah, that's for sure. But it is possible, okay? It is possible. James goes on to say that the mature, grown-up believer is someone who is able to bridle the whole body, all right? The word able in this verse is the Greek word dunamis, and it's taken from another Greek word that is familiar to you, and it's the word dunamis, which means power, strength, and ability. In the way that it's written in the scripture, it gives us this picture of an assembled forces of an army whose combined strength has enabled them to achieve unrivaled victories. The word dunamis is also used to describe a force of nature, like a hurricane or a tornado or an earthquake. So again, all right, again, and I'm repeating myself because I want you to hear this and understand it for sure. When a person can control the words of their mouth and what comes out of it, what they have what's called a supernatural ability and power. So like a mighty Roman army, they can forcefully take ground away from the enemy. That ought to make you excited this morning. That if you can get your tongue under control, you can allow God to take your tongue and get it under control. I mean, that means that you're going to take ground away from the enemy. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Anytime you can take ground away from the enemy instead of the enemy taking ground from you, that's a good thing. Amen? That's a good thing. And that's good stuff. That's good stuff. In fact, he goes on to say that this person who controls the words of their mouth is so strong that they can bridle their whole body. Now, I don't know about you, but as I'm reading through this and as I'm studying this, the idea of controlling the tongue thing, okay, sounds like something that we should all want to attain. It makes you think, why is it then? Say, why is it then? Why is it then that people think that it's such a wonderful thing to be outspoken? That's a synonym for the word rude, right? Or to say just what they're thinking or what's on their mind. You know, as I grow more mature, okay, let me give you some advice this morning. Not everything that you are thinking should come out of your mouth. All right? If you want to be a good witness, if you want to be a friend to anybody, not everything that you are thinking should come out of your mouth. So what's so hard to understand from a Christian perspective is that there are individuals, okay, that will say cruel and thoughtless things without thinking twice, and they hurt other people without giving it another thought. And it gets really even more crueler, if that's a word, if they speak out of anger. Remember the scripture that's found in James 1:20. It says, "For man's anger does not work or promote the righteousness God wishes and requires." I got to tell you something this morning. You have to watch your mouth when you're mad. I have said some horrible things to Serena when I'm mad. Horrible things I would never say, never even think to say to someone that I love so much. But anger has that way to turn you around. That's why the verse before it, verse 19, says this. It says, "Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. For man's anger does not promote the righteousness God wishes and requires." Amen? It's pretty hard to walk in God's will when you're mad. Because you know what mad is or anger is? That's not God inside of you. That's your flesh inside of you. You don't like what somebody said. Well, you know, that's their opinion, okay? And you really have to look at it that way. You know who you are, right? Right? So what someone else says about your character or anything else really shouldn't bother you because that's their opinion. But you know yourself. Now, there are times when they say things that kind of apply. But that's when we have to change. But I digress, okay? At the end of verse 2, it says, "We are able also to bridle the whole body," all right? The word bridle that's used here is a Greek word that I absolutely cannot pronounce, all right? Do you want me to try?
Sure.
Okay. Shelanagogogio. That was pretty good, believe it or not. Which is a term for a horse's bridle, and it means to bridle, of course. It means to hold in check, and it also means to restrain or to control. A person who is able to control their mouth and not just let it say whatever it wants to is a person that the Bible says has great power. Power enough to conquer the enemy. Glory to God. Yeah, I guess I can't make that point greater. We open the doors in our lives so many times by the stupid things that we say. All right? You know, I've heard people say from the pulpit, and I made this mistake one time. You know, it was something about, you know, just let the devil try. You know, I'm this, I'm that, just let the devil try. And he did. You know, and I went through some of the worst times, and then I came to realize that the words of my mouth, I was getting exactly what I had said. Don't ever threaten the devil, okay? I mean, you got the victory. You do. But not even Michael the archangel dared bring a railing accusation against the enemy, right? Okay. So don't do that, okay? Anyway, James explained and he expanded his analogy of the horse and how it's controlled in verse 3 by saying this. He said, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body." The word "indeed" or "behold" here in the Greek is like an exclamation that's declaring, "Wow, this is amazing." Okay? And so he's saying, "Wow, this is amazing. We put bits in horses' mouths and they obey us." Okay? And if you stop and think about it, what James is saying here is really, really, truly amazing. Horses are huge, right? They're huge and they're powerful, powerful animals. The fact that a small bit in their mouth can direct and control their energy and efforts, it's hard to imagine. It just is. But the truth is, if you have control over the horse's mouth, you have control over the whole horse. Okay, and that's what James was trying to get to his audience here. With the bit, okay, in the horse's mouth, with the bit, we can change the direction the horse is heading in completely. So essentially, what James is telling you and I is this: if we can gain control over our mouth, we can control everything about our lives and turn our lives from the direction they're going to the right direction that they should be going. Imagine, you know, just imagine, just by controlling what we say, we can change basically who we are, all right? Now, I was going to stop right here, but I'm going to go a little bit farther, okay? To make sure that we understood what he said, James followed this up with another analogy in the text, and he says this: "Look also at ships," okay? "Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires." I like the King James, "wherever the governor listeth," okay? James included the word "look" in verse 4, all right? It's the Greek word eduo, which describes things like bewilderment, shock and amazement or wonder. So that's what he's saying. It's almost like he said, "Holy cow," you know? "Look at ships," all right? It's an equivalent, really, of him saying again, "Wow, this is shocking and amazing. This is really something. How could this really be? It doesn't make sense in the natural." Then he tells us about the power of ships that are so large. His description is taken from a word that means that they are great in size, huge in fact, and vast or powerful in size and ability. James said these enormous ships are driven by fierce winds. The word "fierce" is the Greek word that is describing something that is harsh or stern or rough or even violent. So, these mighty, enormous ships were driven and pushed directly by harsh and violent winds, which in the original language signifies storm-like forces. How many of you, if you take that from the ocean and put it into your life, have experienced storm-like forces? Forces in your life, man, they come in like a storm. They catch you by surprise. You're not prepared for them. In spite of their tremendous size and the rough storm-like forces that often come against them, James is saying this. He's saying, yet are they, the ships, okay, yet are they turned about with a very small rudder. Just like the small bit that's in a horse's mouth moves the horse where the rider needs it to go, a small rudder on a huge ship or a small ship, it doesn't matter which, okay, leads it in the direction wherever the person or the pilot wants it to go. In other words, the ship is directed by the one controlling the rudder. What is the rudder in our life? It's our tongue. It's what we say. And that's what James is trying to get across to us. You know, and interestingly, the principle holds true for a fishing boat that's, you know, 3 yards long, or an aircraft carrier that's 3 football fields long. And likewise, it holds true of our tongue as well. I really want you to get this, okay? Biblically now, if we gain control of our mouth or our tongue, we can also direct the course of our whole life. Imagine how powerful your words are. Imagine how powerful they are, that you could change the direction of your life. Unfortunately, people have been known to say something to somebody else that seems like a small thing, but the thing they said hurt them to the quick, and it changed the course of their life. Probably by the man, and I've told you this before, probably by the man that I respect the most in my entire life, okay? Probably by him, I was told that I would never be a pastor. Now, it could have really derailed me. And thank God, God gave me the strength or whatever it was to say, you want to bet? You want to bet? And I don't say that out of pride. I don't say that out of anything else. I just wanted you to know the power of God, that out of the 5 to 10 people that were going into the ministry at that time, we're going to make that their life, I'm the only one that's in the ministry. And I don't say that pridefully. God, no. God, I really don't. But look at the power of God. And God can take what's really bad and turn it into something good. Did God bring that bad thing to make sure something good happened in my life? No. But he turned it around for good. And it gave me a want to and a drive probably I wouldn't have had before. But just imagine how powerful words are. You could derail somebody from their life's destiny by something that you say. You can derail yourself. How often have you said, you idiot, talking about yourself? Oh man, how stupid can anybody be talking about yourself? Don't do that. You know, words are powerful. I mean, look how powerful words can be. They can control the direction of your life, the directions of other people's lives. Good words, good life. Bad words, bad life. Say that with me, okay? Good words, bad words, one more time. Good words, bad words, that's right. And I want this to come across right, and I don't want you to think that I'm just repeating myself, but I'm going to repeat myself, okay? Just imagine how powerful your words are when you can call yourself stupid and you end up stupid, or dumb and you end up dumb, all right? How uncoordinated, you know? Yeah, right, okay. But just imagine how powerful your words are in other people's lives. How you can possibly turn someone else's life by the thoughtless or careless words that you speak to them out of anger. So then I guess it makes sense, doesn't it? Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. Because what happens here, if you aren't this way, it says this, for a man's anger, which will come if you don't do what this previous verse says, a man's anger does not promote the righteousness God wishes and requires. However, you said it better than I do, okay. However, and I am going to, I love it. However, yeah, I knew it. The Bible never leaves us without hope. The Bible says, what does the Bible say? There's a few people around that contain the tongue. No, the Bible says to us, but no man can tame the tongue. You can try as hard as you want, okay? You can't do it. No woman can do it. No man can do it. It can't be done by your willpower. How many of you have noticed that the things of God can't be done with your willpower? Amen? You know, it's a good thing to have willpower, but the only way that a tongue can be tamed is if you give your tongue over to the Holy Spirit. Okay, now hold it. Well, how do you do that? How do you do that? I mean, that's a really good answer, but how do you do that? You know, boy, Wes, thank you for the great revelation, but how do you do that? You obey. You think before you talk. You know, that takes a lot more strength than the person that just blats out what they're thinking. How many times in your life have you come up with the best thing to say to the person who said the worst thing to you, but you held your tongue? That was a good thing. The bad thing was that they let their tongue go. In 99 times out of 100, you can take that tongue that's spoken to you out of anger and throw it away. Because it's just because the other person's jealous. Our words have more power than what we think. If my words can change the direction of my life, okay, if my words can really change what's going on around me, that's powerful. If the application that's said in the Bible is taken from the example of a Roman army that's able to conquer a huge force, I mean, bigger than what they should, if that's the example that is given for what our tongue can do, then my prayer is, oh God, you know, control my tongue. Take me to places in your scriptures that convicts me and causes me to change. Take me to those places where I can't be the same person after I've read them. Oh, would to God. Even all the places when I've read and felt terribly convicted that I really would have changed. But my prayer is that I would change. You see, there's this thing that I do, you know, I write in my Bible and I always put a date next to it. That's not always a good idea. Because I'll come through and I'll read that again and I'll realize, oh God, you showed me that a year ago. And I still haven't done a thing about it. You know, and all I can tell you is the times that I've done something about it are the times when my life changes for the better. Amen? The times when I haven't done it, it just stays the same. How many of you really don't want your life to stay the same? I know I don't. I mean, things are going good, it's great, you know. Things are good, great, wonderful, whatever, you know. But I don't want everything in my life to be the same. I want every day that I read the Word of God, every day that I consume that Bible, I want something inside of me to go, oh, okay, I'll do that. It's called the renewing of your mind. And you got to know that when your mind gets renewed, your mouth gets renewed. Come on. When your mind gets renewed to the place where it should be, your mouth gets renewed. When you get to the place where you should be thinking about what you should be thinking about, learning the things that you should have learned, you probably won't say the things that you would have said before. Amen? Now, you know, these kind of sermons can be sermons that a pastor preaches and he can feel really bad afterwards. I don't feel bad because I know this is what God wanted me to preach. But I don't want it to come across to anybody condemningly. The Bible always, say always. The Bible always gives us hope. Always gives us, even for some of the most terrible things that we've done, it gives us hope. Because you know what? We serve a forgiving God, a restoring God, a rebuilding God. Amen. You ought to get excited about that this morning. We serve a God who loves us, who loves us more than we can even imagine, who gives us chance at, like the song that we sang, you've given me chance time after time after time after time. And you know what? And I don't care how perfect you might think you are, it's going to be the same from this day forward. You're going to get chance after chance after chance because you're going to blow it and you're going to blow it and you're going to blow it. But there's something about a heart that wants to change. Are you with me? That's good. That's good. I have actually like 10 more pages, so I'm stopping. Why don't you bow your head with me? Just hear what I'm about to say. Why don't you bow your heads and just hear what I'm about to say. What is the hope of the gospel? It's eternal life. It's forgiveness. It's knowing that you're loved. It's knowing that you have the ability to change when God works it through you. And I think that's a wonderful thing. There's many people today to think if they say something mean to another person or something not thought out, something harsh, something that it's a good thing, it's not a good thing. Now I'm going to ask you to raise your hands here a minute. How many of you would like to have a tongue that's controlled by the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand. You know, a tongue that, keep your hand raised for me, please. A tongue that says only the things that God would release out of your mouth. And that you'd have as much success as is possible in that. All right, how many would, that's it, okay. Then I'm going to ask you to do one little thing, okay? And I don't do this all the time or even maybe as much as I should. But I'm going to ask everybody to stand. And I'm going to ask you, if you raised your hand, if you would come to this altar this morning, okay? And maybe you've never come to the altar before, but it's okay. It doesn't matter. We're all here for the same reason, okay? Come to the altar, and we're going to pray. And we're going to pray that God would change some things in our lives so that the things that we say aren't offensive. We're going to ask God to take our mouths and be able to speak right and good words. And I'm even going to pray that God increases your hunger for the word, which will increase your ability to change. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now I'm going to ask you to do something that I've done a few times in the past, but I'm going to ask, just look at me a minute, okay? Just kind of hold your hands out like you're going to receive something, you know, like somebody's going to place something in your hand, all right? Heavenly Father, I pray right now, you see every single person that's at this altar. And God, I pray that you would just fill their hands, God, with the ability, Lord, to just be able to watch the words of their mouth, consider the words of their mouth. God, I pray that only the good things and the perfect things, God, would come out of their mouths. And God, what's amazing is we can be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. When this happens, God, I pray that right now, today, June 14th, God, that it would happen in people's lives. Lord, that there'd be no more of this, oh, gee, I can't believe I said that. But there would be, I told the person this, and this was the good response. Father, I pray that those that have responded, God, that the words of their mouth would be just seasoned with salt, God, and the oil of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, I pray that every person up here this morning would just experience a supernatural desire, an increased desire for your word. An increased desire just to get home and open it, or when they get up in the morning to open it and just have a meal out of your word, God. And I pray that you would speak to them. I pray that you would. Father, I also pray, God, that we would be mature believers. Mature believers, not immature believers. And that means that we would have control over the things that we say, of course. And I pray that in Jesus' name, and everybody shouted, and I mean everybody shouted, amen and amen. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap this morning, praise this morning for what he's doing in your life, for what he's already done in your life. Amen and amen. Amen.